Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Continuing their Building a Private Cloud with System Center 2012 SP1 series, Keith Mayer and Young Cho walk us through the steps needed to dynamically optimize our virtual machines. Tune in as they show us how to set the reserve capacity for our hosts, balance VM loads, set up auto live migrations, and optimize our power consumption. Keith, the mic is yours.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. We're in episode 11 of our Build Your Private Cloud series. And today we're going to be talking about host reserves, dynamic optimization, and power optimization. My name is Keith Mayer, and I'm a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft in the U.S. And I have with me again, Young Cho. Hey, Young, how's it going?
Hi, Keith. Hello, everyone. This is Young Cho again from South Carolina.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us again today, Young. You know, over the last 10 episodes, when we've been talking about private cloud, we keep referring back to this diagram around building our private cloud and the value that it has around aligning our changing business priorities and IT needs to our underlying infrastructure. And one of the areas that keeps coming up as a kind of a buzzword each time we've gotten together has been the area of elasticity, of being able to take our physical infrastructure, whether it's a virtualization host infrastructure, a storage or a networking infrastructure, and being able to use it more effectively in a more elastic manner, so that as our application scaling needs go up and we need to scale up to support more users, we have the ability to do that without making massive changes to our underlying infrastructure. And by the same regard, as our needs collapse back down again, we have the ability to kind of scale back and get back some of the cost savings where we may not need to run as many hosts. I find elasticity to be a fascinating concept, having built lots of data centers over the years, because it's really easy. What I've often found, Young, is that it's really easy to build that data center out. Well, considerably easier, I should say, to build a data center out. When you start talking about using it elastically, traditionally, that's been a real challenge, you know, because we're dealing with fixed assets. What's been your experience around elasticity, Young, around private cloud and data centers?
Yeah, well, electricity, definitely that's the key concept in cloud computing, and such that your capacity can grow and shrink based upon demand. However, you know, you don't just wake up in the morning and say, you know what, we're going to do elastic application. You really kind of think in the long run that how do I get here? If you look at our episode, I mean, we've been talking about this for what, 8-10 episodes now?
Yeah.
We started from scratch building different type of templates. Basically, we standardize many things, right? The standardization is a key concept, because only when you standardize it, you can automate it and optimize it, and such that you can kind of make the decision actually on the fly, right, to determine, okay, where's the best place to put it? And the reason I can put it, deploy it out very quickly is because I have standardized many things, right? I just need to kind of plug in a few runtime information, boom, I can deploy that resource just like that. So it's really important for us to understand that in order to be elastic, there's really the foundation has to be there, basically the fabric, right, has to be there. And that's what we've been talking about. We finally come to this point that I can show you, like, above the fabric, that how you can actually take advantage of what's been put in place, all this computing and network and storage for you, and such that you can deploy your application, you can manage your application in an elastic manner.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that is being able to dynamically optimize our underlying fabric infrastructure for supporting those elastic scale needs of our applications. And so in System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012, Service Pack 1, we deal with that through three concepts around host reserves, dynamic optimization, and then a sub-component of dynamic optimization called power optimization. And the idea here is that we may have our physical fabric in place and have 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 racks of compute and storage and networking, and we want to be able to get the most efficient use out of that. We don't want to leave it all powered on all the time, spinning disk and consuming power within our data center if we're not actively using it. And by the same regard, we also don't want to get into an unhealthy state where we have so many applications that are virtualized and being concentrated on a portion of our fabric that we have one portion that's being overutilized and another portion that's being very underutilized. So we want to be able to balance that both from a performance and responsiveness standpoint, but also from a power consumption standpoint. And so System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 with Virtual Machine Manager allows us to put some rules in place to do this really effectively on a dynamic basis where it watches the environment for us and self-adjusts and fine-tunes how it's leveraging our underlying fabric. So the first concept that we'll go through together in just a moment is the idea of host reserves. With host reserves, we're reserving a certain amount of CPU and memory and resource capacity for our underlying host operating systems, right? So that we don't have to worry about trying to consume so much memory or CPU, for instance, for running virtual machines that we're starving the underlying host itself. So that's a very valuable piece for being able to ensure this stable, resilient, performant fabric infrastructure. And then when we get into the dynamic optimization allows us to turn on some monitoring capabilities across those hosts and across the virtual machines and applications that we're provisioning on those hosts to try to balance the virtual machine load that it's causing on the hosts in an equal manner or as equal as possible across those various hosts to give the best performance, the best utilization of resources so that we don't have one host that's over-consumed with VMs and another one that's just sitting there idle. What'll happen is when we enable dynamic optimization, it will attempt to, every so many minutes that we can specify, review the load that each host is under, and then as it sees fit, attempt to balance that load by taking advantage of the live migration ability that we talked about in our earlier episodes to live migrate running virtual machines with no network downtime between hosts within a host cluster, for instance, within our VMM fabric environment. So the nice thing is that with the new capacity capabilities that we have around live migration of being able to do multiple concurrent live migrations between hosts and host clusters, we have the ability to have this dynamic optimization occurring in the background with really no impact to users that are trying to run those applications. And then the final component that we'll be looking at in dynamic optimization when we jump into our lab in a moment is the concept of power optimization. And the idea behind this is to optimize our power consumption so that if we are elastically expanding and reducing our workload needs for the underlying fabric, as that elasticity comes back down and we find that we don't need during certain portions of our week or our month or our day the same level of fabric resources, we can actually have Virtual Machine Manager look to consolidate on a healthy basis all of our virtual machines on a smaller portion of our fabric and then temporarily power down the unused portions of our fabric to save on power consumption and power those pieces of our fabric back up again when we find that there's increased load later on in our business cycle. So we can have this tuned to whatever our normal business cycle is. So if we find that on a monthly basis we're running a lot more active workloads at the end of the month for doing end of month processing and whatnot, we can have a smaller fabric at the beginning of the month and then start powering on hosts to take advantage of more expansive capabilities towards the end of the month when we need it. Power them back down when we reach that end of month processing and when we complete that, and save on some power for the remainder of the next month. Well, Young, from your standpoint, when you think about these concepts around host reserves and dynamic optimization, how do you feel about them? I mean, when I talk to a lot of IT pros, they look at them and they think of it as kind of magic that's happening in their data center in the background, where they put this in place and suddenly they see servers starting to spin up and spin down. But from your standpoint, Young, how do you feel about these concepts?
Well, in some way, it is pretty magical. Right? It is pretty magical. Now, how did this happen? Well, because of Fabric. Because we have spent so much time, right, we're building up the foundation. Now, the balanced virtual machine load and also auto-migrate, that's a very interesting concept. And also with Windows Server 2012, the many new technology now we put in place, combined Windows Server 2012 and System Center Virtual Machine 2012 SP1, this is dynamic dual, right? And all this automatically will happen. Now, as you are developing the policy, you're developing those concepts. When you manually test it, you'll find out it's very easy to do. I just feel very excited that there's so much around this capability now. It's readily available, and we can really develop the best practices and to manage our private cloud. With this balanced workload, auto line migrate, I think it'd be such an interesting task to do, you know?
Definitely, yeah. Well, what do you say? Do you think it makes sense to drop over into our lab and show everybody how it's done?
You bet.
Okay. Well, Young, here we are in our lab environment, and we've got the System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 Virtual Machine Manager console open. And I am in the Fabric workspace because we're talking about, with the concepts of host reserves and dynamic optimization, we're really talking about optimizing the utilization of our Fabric. And earlier in our prior episodes, we went through the process of adding hosts and adding storage and networking into our Fabric. We had this concept of being able to organize our Fabric into these various host groups. And so if we right-click on one of our host groups, I'm going to right-click on all hosts up at the top and navigate down to properties on my pop-up menu. We'll go into the properties for that particular group, and you'll see within the property pages of each of the groups, the ability to set host reserves for hosts that are part of that group, as well as dynamic optimization. And on each of these pages, up towards the top, there's a checkbox option that allows you to use the host reserves that are inherited from a parent host group, or to leave that unchecked and set specific reserves and dynamic optimization properties on a group-by-group basis. And this is really cool because it allows you at the all hosts level, the top level group, to set overall properties for your host reserves and for dynamic optimizations. But then at a data center by data center basis, if you go into your East US or West US or whatever, however you've laid out your groups to organize your hosts, you can set those reserves and optimization properties differently if you have different capacity parameters around the hosts that are within those groups as well. Now, it's grayed out. Those checkbox options are grayed out right now because I'm looking at the top level group, and it can't inherit from anything else. There's nothing above it. But for the other subgroups, you'd see that as an active checkbox. The idea behind host reserves are to specify an amount of resource, whether it's CPU, memory, disk, or network, that we want to reserve for the host operating system itself. And so you'll see some defaults in place when you start up VMM. By default, 10% of CPU, 2 gigs of memory, and 1% of the overall disk space is set up as a host-level reserve. But if you were doing things that required extra network I/O or extra memory on your host operating systems on each of the hosts, you could set your own parameters here. And what will happen is when a new virtual machine gets placed or an existing virtual machine gets moved, Virtual Machine Manager will take these host reserves into account to make sure that it's not starting a new VM or moving an existing VM on a host that would force that host below the host reserve level. So it's a great concept because it makes sure that not only are the applications within our VMs healthy, but this helps to make sure that our host has enough resources as well. Young, what do you think about the host reserves? Does that seem pretty logical from your standpoint?
I think this is very important to understand that doing a host reserve is really based upon your environment. For instance, at this time, your host groups, you know, you set it up based upon geographic location. And it may be other reason you will set it up based upon perhaps your subscription, perhaps your SLA, perhaps your business function. Maybe one is for development, one is for production. Whatever the reason, however you group them, and then you can use this host reserve to guarantee that, for instance, if I group it as a developer, have a group, and then I have production, have a group, I will make sure that production always gets sufficient resources, right? And because everything is about the fabric, we're using the same fabric infrastructure to support multiple different application, different organization, different geographic area, if you will. So with this host reserve, you guarantee at the hardware level that the resource will be there based upon your service level agreement or based whatever the strategy that you have in mind.
So that's the host reserves area of the properties that we can set on an individual host group. The other concept we wanted to talk about, though, was dynamic optimization. Dynamic optimization helps to automatically load balance our virtual machines that are actively running within our various hosts and across those host clusters so that we can help balance that loadout and ensure responsiveness from those applications. So at a host group level, just like we could set up host reserves, we can also set up dynamic optimization properties. So we can set it to an aggressive level of high, medium, or low. That kind of balances the dynamic optimization algorithm so that even if there's just a little bit of a gain that it expects to get in terms of responsiveness, it'll still try to get that little percentage and it'll end up resulting potentially in more live migrations. So if you have really fast network connections and live migrations are going back and forth really quickly in your environment, you might try high and see how well it works for you. The default is medium, which seeks to strike a balance. And medium, I find, works well for most environments, at least as a starting point. I'd encourage you to start with the defaults. And then if you'd like to try to get a little more balance, if you see that perhaps there's a little bit of an imbalance between your hosts within the host cluster, you can try raising that aggressiveness level up a bit to try to increase the sensitivity of dynamic optimization. On the other hand, if you're interested in dynamic optimization but want to reduce the likelihood of live migrations occurring, unless there's going to be a pretty substantial gain in terms of balancing resource consumption across your hosts, you can move that aggressiveness slide bar more down towards the low level, for instance. Now, as we go through this process, we can also check the box right below our aggressiveness indicator to force it to automatically migrate virtual machines that it's going to load balance. So without that checkbox selected, dynamic optimization will result in recommendations for us as administrators to live migrate certain virtual machines, and we can perform those manually. But with the checkbox selected, it will not only make those recommendations, it'll perform the recommendations itself. So it'll say, great, I see that I can balance out the CPU utilization a little bit better and make some load balancing gains here. I'm going to automatically try to live migrate virtual machines. Now you can also fine-tune a frequency interval in minutes as to how frequently it will look to automatically attempt to live migrate virtual machines. Again, I'd recommend keeping the defaults initially in your environment. The default is 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes, it'll try to load balance virtual machines by live migrating if it sees an imbalance in how the resources are being used across those hosts, and then tweak it from there because it's very conditional on the configuration of your environment, how fast your network connections are, how fast your storage is and whatnot, in order to determine how frequently you may wish to leverage live migration going back and forth. Under the in the second half of our dialog box for dynamic optimization, we can also specify the thresholds that will trigger dynamic optimization. So basically with these thresholds, a host that is falling below one of these thresholds will be considered for optimization, considered for receiving virtual machines from other heavier utilized hosts. Based on these thresholds, and again, there's some good logical defaults in place, if a host falls below them, it will be available to get placed a virtual machine on it that's currently running on a host with higher utilization. So just like the other two boxes above, I'd recommend starting with the defaults, seeing how well it works in your environment for your hosts and your virtual machine load, and then fine-tuning it from there. Now, the last portion of dynamic optimization is enabling power optimization. Now, the power optimization is supported today for Windows Server Hyper-V hosts only. It's not supported for VMware, ESXi, and Citrix Xen server hosts today. But when we enable power optimization by checking our box, if we have Hyper-V hosts in our environment, we can not only perform dynamic optimization, but we can seek to determine if it's safe to evacuate certain hosts in the cluster and then turn them off. So if our utilization of our hosts starts getting down to the point where we could safely run all of our virtual machines on a smaller number of hosts and still have the good performance and responsiveness, that's what power optimization will seek to identify. And the way that it seeks to identify that is it watches as the hosts drop below the power optimization thresholds. It then spins up an algorithm to determine if the virtual machines that are running on those hosts can be evacuated to other hosts. So you can see that these settings were kind of hand in hand with the dynamic optimization thresholds on the prior page. The dynamic optimization thresholds on the prior page are used to determine if a host has low enough utilization to receive VMs from other hosts within the fabric, whereas these thresholds determine if a host is at a certain level below these thresholds, it's eligible to send its VMs elsewhere. Because what we figure is if we're at 40% or below utilization, for instance, if there's enough availability of resources elsewhere on other hosts in the fabric, this host isn't very heavily utilized. We can send those VMs elsewhere and then seek to power this host off to save on power consumption. And this is that part that we were talking about a little earlier, Young, as being kind of the magic in VMM, where you'll walk into a data center and you'll start looking around and you might start seeing hosts spinning up or hosts powering down automatically based on the customized power optimization schedules, the thresholds, and then the dynamic optimization policies on the prior page. Now, we do have the ability to control the schedule of when power optimization is applied as well. You'll see down at the bottom a schedule that we can click on and turn white or blue. If any of the blocks in the schedule are blue, power optimization is running. If any of the blocks are white, it's not running. So if you were looking, for instance, to optimize the use of power optimization only after hours, you could actually go through the process of saying Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. local time, for instance. We could just go through and tick out all of those boxes, make them all white, and then we don't have to worry about any of our hosts getting powered down or powered back up during the core business day. Outside of business hours, though, where we may expect our utilization to be lighter, well then we can enforce power optimization and have VMM help us reclaim some of the costs that we may be spending in our data center unnecessarily by paying for servers and by paying for hosts that are powered up and spinning and whatnot without really having a a good business reason to do so because they're underutilized. Well, Young, what do you think? Does this make sense from your standpoint?
I'll tell you what, anytime I see some interface like this, I feel empowered. I love it. I can just like, yes, optimize, no, don't optimize. Well, actually, there's a lot of concept here. First of all, no optimization doesn't mean it's shut down, right? So IT professional, don't assume like, okay, if I take this out, then that means they're not available. No, it's just as a system will or will not optimize it for you. And so if there's an opportunity to relocate the workload or to shut it down, if you say optimize, the system will do that for you. So this is more like some type of the optimization scheme that you can put in place. Now, if you can cancel this screen, because I want to go back to the whole wizard, there's really something here that we should pay attention to is the aggressiveness. Being aggressive not necessarily is better. You really need to see what's your workload, right? And I think you make a great point. Unless there's a good reason to make some changes, you really should not. And also, as you're making changes, you also want to start monitoring. You know, does this change have some negative impact does the system behave as we expected? If you make it too aggressive, your system will be busy relocating your workload, shut it down, bring it up, all kinds of things. But if you're not aggressive, you may end up wasting a lot of resources. So there's a really something that you need to have some benchmark. You need to consider what kind of workload that you are optimizing. Is this workload a busy I/O type of thing? Is it CPU intense? What kind of workload this is? And you really need to kind of have a good reason to come in and start making changes. And also, as you're making changes, you don't make five changes at the same time. You probably will make some indicator, something that you can monitor and make that change, and then you monitor that. This is certainly, you do all this in developing environment, and then once you set up a kind of a policy and a strategy, then you come up with a setting that you will implement it into production.
Yep, definitely. No, I agree. I think the IT pros that I talk to that have been working in enterprise environments for years and years, they're generally a pretty conservative crowd in terms of the IT policies that they implement. And what strikes me as I have been working with Virtual Machine Manager is that a lot of the defaults that are in place on a lot of these property screens are good, conservative, kind of middle-of-the-road properties to start with. And like you had said, being aggressive isn't always better. You want to adjust these policies for a reason. And much like when you're performance monitoring in an environment, you want to start from a baseline, understand the results of where you are from a baseline, and then begin tweaking it one way or the other to try to adjust for what you're seeing. And it works the same way here as well. Is that what you were thinking as well, Young?
Yeah. Yes. And another point I want to make is, as we talk about these kind of things, IT professionals need to recognize that this needs to be part of your routine. Now, maybe every so often you'll get a report, and the follow-up action is to review some of the settings, right? All these things that we talk about, it's not necessary when you're building the private cloud or when you just finished building it. It needs to be incorporated into your maintenance routine such that, you know, every so often you come back and justify and validate it.
Yep. No, definitely. Yep. So, Young, we just stepped through the steps involved in configuring hot reserves and dynamic optimization and Virtual Machine Manager in System Center 2012, Service Pack 1. What do you think? Pretty easy, pretty straightforward as you're going through those dialog boxes?
Yeah, I think it's great. All these concepts are very important. IT professionals have a chance to really kind of understand how to manage resources. And once we build a cloud, this is a very important indicator that we need to set.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, everybody, if you'd like to go through the steps of trying out System Center 2012 and Service Pack 1 and Virtual Machine Manager for yourself, feel free to take advantage of our Lab in the Cloud, our Cloud Lab program. We have step-by-step guides on Windows Server 2012, System Center 2012, SQL 2012, SharePoint 2013, even Linux. We're constantly adding more lab guides. It's a great opportunity for you to gain access into a lab environment that's based on our Windows Azure platform. And by signing up for a free 90-day subscription of Windows Azure, you can use it as your lab environment for the next quarter and start learning about all of these new products and solutions that you've been learning about over the series with Young and myself. And certainly as you're going through those labs, if you have questions or need a little bit more assistance, well, we've got some good news for you. We've got, on a weekly basis, we provide an online Early Experts Virtual Study Hall. It's an online study hall you can join from the comfort of your home or office. Grab your lunch, join us every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and pick and choose the labs that you wish to work through. You can work through any of the labs I mentioned just a few moments ago. And the great news is that Young and myself and the other technical evangelists here on our team are available in that virtual study hall during that time to answer your questions live. You can submit the questions, get live responses, and expedite completion of those labs and being able to move through those labs and understand and learn about our latest technologies. To join us at our next virtual study hall, feel free to browse out to aka.ms/virtual study hall. Well, Young, thanks so much for joining me again today to talk about the private cloud.
Well, thank you. I want everybody to take advantage of the virtual study hall. And if we have not enough people attending the virtual study hall, and maybe, you never know, maybe we will provide the lunch.
Well, that'll come out of your expense budget. Well, thanks everybody out there for listening to us again and joining us today in episode 11 on Building Our Private Cloud. The next two episodes, come back and join us in episode 12 and 13. Young and I will be talking about extending our private cloud to leverage hybrid cloud infrastructure. I can't wait to hear more and see you there.